This is the Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Tuesday. This is a little different. We're having it on Thursday. Don't ask questions. This is episode 189, and this week we are discussing upcoming releases, including Tomorrowland, Poltergeist, and San Andreas, spoiler-free reviews of Mad Max Fury Road, and Pitch Perfect 2. Our From the Outside In topic this week, Fantasy World. Why we love them, and which ones we'd like to leave our own lives for to live out our own days with. Latest movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments. Please remember to review us on iTunes. Give us a thumbs up on Stitcher if that's where you listen. Either one of those, it really helps the show. We do appreciate it. And share the show with your friends. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
I think the listeners should ask questions, because the reason that we're not doing this on normal time is because you had to go spend some time alone in the wood with a bunch of dudes.
I don't think that's relevant right now. Justin McCumber?
I think it's more than relevant.
And Brian Williams.
Squeal like a pig.
Look, it's,
hey.
Bring it to Brian to bring up the Deliverance joke.
Look, there's only twice a year I get to throw that joke back onto somebody else.
That's true.
And by God, I'm going to take that opportunity every time. So just I'm giving you a warning for future. Mm-hmm. In 6 months when he goes again, it'll happen again.
Have any of you ever gone backpacking?
Fuck no.
Yeah, but we call it backpacking. We don't call it man packing.
My buddy Tyler calls it packpacking. I don't really know what that means, but I kind of think it means something.
I feel like that's supposed to be dirty, but I can't figure out why.
It's dirty in his mind, and that's really all that matters, because it comes across dirty to me. Yes, I did. I spent 5 days in the wilderness doing nothing but talk to other dudes and not shower and drink coffee and that kind of stuff.
Hike. Yeah, really wear suck. Flannel.
Mm-hmm. Just no TV at all, unless you bring it with you. I recommend it. What have you guys been doing?
Been working. The countdown has begun.
Aren't you a teacher?
12 days and counting.
So, like, your job's almost done for 4 months.
Until summer school.
Yeah, but that's an optional thing. So, really, your main job's kind of done.
I do get sappy for a second, though, if I can. I got to give a big shout-out to one of our listeners. D.A. Cheney is a good friend of mine that I met through this show. Mm-hmm. And she did something really nice for me this week that I want to share. I got a student in my class that is an aspiring writer, and she really wants to be a writer. And so I got her permission from her mom, obviously, to get her in touch with DA, who is a writer. I couldn't think of any other really good writers to get her in touch with. So,
Wow. Wow, he starts kidding, off so. With a punch.
No.
Wow, Rocky, how's Apollo?
No, in all seriousness, I thought, you know, DA is a writer. She's got a book on Amazon and this kind of thing, and I thought it'd be really good to get a female role model for this particular student. And she emailed her, and they've been emailing back and forth. And within a week, it's made a change in this girl's life. And
oh, wow!
I just want to say thank you to her. She is she's a good writer, but she struggles in math, and she's actually started to incorporate her writing skills into her math to make her understand math better. And she's like a different kid, and I really appreciate it. So shout out to DA. Thank you.
So by proxy, we're changing lives. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Aw, that's a sweet story. Sure wish some other writers would have done that. That would have been a cool story for his autobiography or his biography, because I'm going to write it.
No, in all joking aside, I actually did ask Justin to do the same. I'm waiting for this particular student to write him first. So it was a cheap shot.
No, we like those. It's okay. Keep it coming. You all right, Justin? Does that bother you? Do you want to take a shot back? We'll give you
no.
5 seconds.
No.
You figure
I'm fine.
I've gotten plenty over the last 4 years. So.
He's used to just rolling over and taking it.
All righty, then. Last week's topic was movie marketing. So you can listen to that. There will be no episode next week. We're taking the week off for Memorial Day. Unless either Tomorrowland or Poltergeist blow us away and we want to do another reaction cast like we just did with Mad Max Fury Road.
I like that better than spoiler cast, by the way. Like,
what, reaction cast?
Reaction cast, that's pretty cool. I don't know if it's been coined before, but
I've never seen it, that's why I use it. So if it's there, I have not seen it.
Trademark that shit!
I'm borderline get on that.
I don't know where you would bother trademark something like that, Brian.
If Taylor Swift can do it.
That's true.
Taylor if you can Swift. Coin the phrase "this sick beat," which I think we just got sued.
nice job.
I think we're okay.
Scott at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Movie news. Yes,
please, Taylor Swift, email me, please.
Did you guys see, right before we started recording, Robert Kirkman is getting involved in the Transformers universe? We're all Walking Dead fans. Does that do anything for you, or you don't? That doesn't really put any more or less faith into the franchise than you already have?
I'm just picturing some dude mispronouncing Optimus Prime's name like Rick does. Prime!
What are you, Brian, Justin, what do you guys think?
I think he's a quality writer, and he's got a great imagination. So I'm sure whatever he brings to the table will be good stuff. So I would have to say it makes me a little more excited to see what somebody like him can bring to the franchise.
I think this may be kind of signaling the end of the Walking Dead franchise.
What?
Yeah.
How do you figure?
At least just... I mean, look, if he's, you figure this is going to take a couple of years to, you know, I mean, they're talking multiple movies here. So who knows where, you know, when his, I guess, when his part will take place. But I mean, obviously, I mean, we've been running for the last, I don't know how, I mean, I know it's what, 5 seasons, but it's probably like what, 6 years
mm-hmm.
or so. So you got to figure The Walking Dead will be ending at some point here in the next few years.
I don't think it will, man. I really don't. They just started a spinoff.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he on the spinoff at all? Or is he
he's involved in that one, too. I mean, that's his baby. He created the entire world.
I don't know. I mean, you know, opportunities like this come up. I'm just saying, there's a possibility here. And people, hey, people juggle a lot of different projects.
Mm-hmm. J.J. Abrams.
But... yeah, I mean the Roberto Orci and his little posse, you know. So we're just saying, it's just out there. That's just kind of what struck me as, well, this may take a couple of years to kind of gestate. The show might run just for a couple of more years or so, or 2 or 3 years, what have you. But just saying, it's just throwing that out there. I'm just throwing it out there in case it happens. I've got something else to say. I told you so.
I hate you because they have the most rabid fan base. So if anybody's going to email anger over that, it's going to be a Walking Dead fan.
You're stupid.
Exactly.
It's going to go forever.
You I'm big dumb dumb. You. Dumb dumb.
Stupid redneck. I'm telling you, it's going to go forever.
Oh, I hope they say redneck, because then that's a racist term in your words, your neck of the woods, isn't it?
Only if it's said in a main way, but then again, half of us are
so dumb.
How do
you say it nice? How do you say redneck in a pleasant, positive manner?
Ask Jeff Foxworthy. He made millions off of that.
That's because he is a redneck. You can. It's kind of like if you're a black person, you can make fun of black people. That's just the rule. And if you're Mexican, you can make fun of Mexican. If you're white people, you can make fun of nobody.
Well, now you're married to a Mexican. Does that mean you can kind of make Mexican jokes?
She's not Mexican.
She's not Mexican.
Oh, shit.
She's
what Hispanic. Is she? Did I just offend?
Yeah. I think so.
This will be the one episode she listens to, Justin.
Yeah, exactly.
They take
is she
that
Colombian
shit
or something else?
Ecuadorian. She's Ecuadorian.
Mm-hmm. Ah, doesn't matter.
Oh, it matters. Let me tell you.
It matters.
They take it seriously. All of them. It's not just Ecuadorians. Mexican state. Don't call me an Ecuadorian. You know, they...
I'm going to text her right now and warn her.
Oh, yeah. But now I can get away with it probably more than Joe Whitey, yeah. Just because I'm not really ethnic, but I know a guy. You know, I got a friend who's a Hispanic guy kind of thing.
Aren't you a 16th Indian?
Cherokee or something like that?
I am actually part Cherokee or whatever it is. I think so. Not enough that I give a shit. I can tell you that much.
Not enough that it affected your color.
No. Like your great-grandma, like, nothing. Banged a Native American once or something?
Our lineage goes to Pocahontas. True story.
All right.
I don't know why.
All right, I'm going to need to see some paperwork on that.
There is some paperwork. My uncle did a lot of research.
Genealogy.com.
Enjoy. I do have another side of the family. It's not all Peterson, you know, just to clarify. Back to movie news. Not that anybody wants to hear about my lineage. Do you want a last Starfighter sequel, and why, Scott? Because apparently they're talking about making one.
I want it, absolutely, but I'm kind of a big nostalgia nerd over that movie. If you're not familiar with it, it's from like 1982 or no 86, right?
Mm-hmm. It's out there.
86. It's about a kid named Alex who's really good at an arcade video game called The Last Starfighter. And as the movie goes on, you find out that this machine is actually like a test simulator or a recruiting software for this alien race that is trying to find someone to come save them from this evil emperor that's overtaken them. So this
from
video
Zur.
Game, Zur, yes.
And the Codan Armada.
Codan Armada. It's just a stupid fun movie that I watched. I adored when I was a kid, obviously being a big fan of video games. But I really have always wanted to see it with updated graphics because I don't think that the animation and the special effects really hold up today. It still holds a special place in my heart because I grew up with it, but it's nothing that I would show someone and say, you need to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a classic in that sense of a word. But even if the movie is stupid fun, I think I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm okay with it if that's what it is. Am I alone in that?
I loved Last Starfighter. I'd love to. I'd actually like to see it remade, but you know, a sequel is almost just as good. So I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I'd rather have a remake instead of a sequel.
Well, Justin, why would you want another? Why would you want one?
It was a great film. I mean, back in the day when I was a kid, this was a movie straight up my alley. It was about video games and science fiction. This one young man saves this whole group of people from an alien from the Zur Armada, or the Codan Armada, pardon me. And it was one of those movies that kind of, as a kid, it helped you feel empowered, like, yeah, I could do that too, because I can get on my Atari and play some River Raid and whatnot. I should be next up in line to pilot this real starfighter. It was a lot of fun, and to me, this is the kind of movie that's aching for a remake.
You know, those of us at that age were, you know, wasting weeks worth of allowances at the arcade, you know, and you know, so I mean, there was that. Oh, hey, I'm good at this video game. So, hey, if somebody drops down from the stars and decides to offer me a job to save the universe, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I think I would rather see a remake if, you know, especially if it was good enough to kind of maybe start a whole new franchise. Cause this has really got a potential to kind of be a decent sized little franchise. So,
mm-hmm.
Maybe Pixels will be that next video game player franchise.
Huh?
No? All right. It's worth the shot.
It doesn't have the same tone. Last Starfighter definitely was kind of tongue-in-cheek, especially with some of the humor. There's this really funny subplot that's going on because when he gets whisked away to this planet, they have to leave someone in his place. So they have like an android that looks like him that stays back in place but doesn't act like quite like a human exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Making that with modern times could be really funny. I can't wait. I really hope this happens and it's not just a rumor.
I really wish I remember this movie better because all three of you sound super excited. And I'm just like, I think I saw it after Goonies. And that's
I own it if you want to check it out. I'm actually going to rewatch it here in the near future.
I don't really want to, but I will if you want me to.
No, it's not going to.
You watch The Howling. You watch The Howling. I'll watch Last Starfighter. How's that?
The Howling?
Yeah, it's that werewolf movie. We talked about it in the podcast, Scott. Like,
I know, deal. But like. That's fine. I'm not like aching for you to see it.
Brian, damn right it is, Scott. Just accept it.
Brian's making the deal for you. All right. Well,
any more deals you're gonna make for me, Brian?
Yeah, but it's gonna involve slavery. So
man packing.
Exactly. Now you're on to it. Jack Reacher's also getting a sequel, and Ed Zwick is in talks to direct. If you remember, the first movie was written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who did. Well, he wrote. Yeah, I did Way of the Gun. He wrote Usual Suspects. He's a great writer. But apparently, there's some reason he's not coming back. I don't know. But are you excited about this, Brian, that Ed Zwick, who did The Last Samurai and several other good movies, is going to do the sequel? And that we're getting one.
Yeah, first of all, I'm just glad we're getting one. You and I both loved this movie when it came out. And mm-hmm. You know, and I've watched it on cable. It's just one of those movies that, you know, you're just kind of flipping channels. You don't really... You know, you don't really know what you want to watch, and then it comes on, and it's midway through the movie, and you just can't help but watch. There's so many scenes in this movie that are just fantastic, and I'm excited for it. As far as Zwick goes, yeah, I guess he's good. I don't.
That's a powering endorsement.
Well, I don't judge the directors like you guys do. You know, I mean, you hear about a property that's coming out and you go, this director is attached to it, and you get excited or hate on it, whatever the case mm-hmm. is. I don't really pay attention to that a whole lot. So for me, it's a name I recognize. I recognize some of the stuff he's done. I like some of the stuff he's done. So it puts a little butter on my toast, so to speak, just to make it a little
see where, side see joke. What I did.
Yeah.
A little under the table. I see what you're saying.
I liked The Last Samurai quite a bit. So having Ed Zwick on as director is good, especially since he has worked with Cruise in the past. So hopefully there's a relationship there that'll make the filming of this sequel even better and easier.
Did you like the first one? Did you ever see it?
I liked it well enough. I feel like I am chock-a-block with action franchises. I don't really know if I need a Jack Reacher one, but a lot of people out there loved it, so I'm certainly not going to poo-poo on it. I'll watch it, I'm sure.
See, if they go, because I started reading the books after the movie, and I think your wife does too, right, Krista?
She loves the books.
Yeah. And which I totally get. If you ever read the books, those two characters, Tom Cruise and Jack Reacher, couldn't be further from comparison. They just,
as far as physically, you mean?
As far as really anything. I mean,
really?
Yeah, in terms of the books, I mean, he just doesn't have the stature, the power, the imposing nature that Jack Reacher does. He's not as
silent
good.
Menace.
Yes, he's very much, he walks in a room and people are scared shitless of him. And Tom Cruise, just for all the great running he does not impose on people very well. He's just not intimidating. And that's the one thing that it was a little lacking in the first movie. I think he made up for it with the action scenes, and they set it up so they they basically took advantage of what he was, of his positive attributes, and they ended up making it work where they made his physicality part of the role, and it worked. But I mean, when the guy's 6'5 in the book and he's like 5'2 in real life, I mean, like a buddy of mine said, was Jack Reacher, they call him Jack Reacher because he's trying to get things on the shelf. You know, I mean, I get it. He's a short guy and Jack Reacher's not, but that character worked. The movie works really well. Readers of the book, I don't know how they feel, but if they keep with the tone of the books, the books are more like an investigative thriller. They're not really action movies. So I actually love the way that they present him in the books. If they did more of that, I would really be excited.
Are you guys surprised that we're getting another one? I mean, the first one did pretty well, like, what, $300 million?
I think it was like $200 million. I'm surprised because it was not...
It was $218 worldwide, $90 domestic.
Well, that's $218 worldwide total.
I mean, I'm sorry. Oh, is that okay?
Including, yeah, mm-hmm. including yeah. domestic.
Gotcha, okay.
Which, it's not like a huge hit.
Yeah, but outside of the star power of Tom Cruise, I can't imagine that's a very expensive movie to make.
No, I don't think so. And it seems to be something that Cruise really enjoys doing. So mm-hmm. I'm surprised that it didn't make $100 million and it's getting a sequel. Because you won't see a sequel to Edge of Tomorrow or anything like that. But that, well, probably for several reasons. But you know, it just feels like it didn't. I didn't think it would have made enough to get a sequel. I'm just happy it did. I love that I love that movie.
I agree. I agree. It's one of those things that I love a lot. And you've never, outside of really us, I never really heard much about, you know, with anybody just kind of talking about it. And so to see it's getting a sequel, I'm really pumped about it. And it's just one of those movies that it almost gets better every time you watch it.
I love it more every time I see it. Every time.
I'd much rather see a John Wick sequel come out sooner.
I like John Wick too. But see, you just said you're chock-a-block of action sequels. But you're okay with
at
that
least,
one?
At least with John Wick, I felt like I got something more interesting.
Faster,
than
quicker?
Jack Reacher. The action sequences in that movie were just so astonishing. I'm much more pumped for that. But again, it's... If people really liked Reacher, and so I'm happy to have them be happy.
Aww.
All right, real quick, hand-to-hand combat. No fight, no guns. Who wins, Jack Reacher or John Wick?
Reacher from the books or from the movie?
No, just from the movie. We're a movie podcast.
Ooh, that's a
good one. I have to go Keanu.
I go Reacher. He's got military training, and he dealt with trained killers for most of his life. So
John Wick's the most feared assassin around. That's got to have some weight.
Make that mishmash guns, movie. Right? Make John Wick versus Jack Reacher. Do it. I think that would be a great movie, actually.
Have you guys ever seen somebody put together an infographic of all of the different kills John Wick has throughout the movie, scene by scene, and accounts by the number of bullets and stabs and kicks and punches. It's pretty astonishing just how much of a beatdown he puts out in every scene.
Like, he just leveled out a city.
Oh, Jesus.
So good. Well, you're getting a sequel to that one, so everybody's happy. Well, how about something that you do like? You didn't like necessarily the last movie that they made, but Godzilla creators, is it Toho, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're suing the filmmakers of Anne Hathaway's new monster movie, Colossal, and they want to shut it down. Even if they're coming close to making a Godzilla movie, do you think it should be shut down, Justin? Or you can explain why, too.
Well, according to a brief that was put out by the gentleman of Greenberg, Gluster, Fields, Clayman, and Machtinger LLP, which is an L.A. law firm, they're talking about the people who have made Colossal. They are expressly informing the entertainment community that they're making a Godzilla film and are using the Godzilla trademark and images of Toho's protected character to generate interest in and to obtain financing for their project. So basically what they're saying is that they are, for all intents and purposes, telling people they're making a Godzilla film, even though they don't have apparently any of the rights to Godzilla, his mm-hmm. name, the image, anything. But they're using that name and that image in trying to get money and funding and interest for it. So if that's true, then Toho's definitely got a case.
I don't know how I mean, Pacific Rim was basically a Godzilla movie. I mean, everything about it was Godzilla. I remember interviews where he's like, it's Godzilla versus, you know, interdimensional beings or whatever, monsters.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
But I think when you look at the kaiju that were made for Pacific Rim, none of them were expressly a Godzilla clone. In fact, they went with, instead of going with kind of the lizard look, which Godzilla has, they went with more of a sea, a lot of sea animal looks, a lot of crabs and things like that. So there was really no confusion, at least amongst anybody I talked to, that Pacific Rim had anything to do with Godzilla other than both of these things having a giant monster at the heart of it. But this company is using Godzilla's silhouette and using his name to generate interest. And that's kind of you can't do that.
No, that's wrong.
So they're
shut it down.
They're trying to shut them down for now and looking for damages.
Yeah, I was with you, Aaron, at first. I was like, you can't trademark the idea of a giant monster destroying a city. I mean, that you can't. But at the same time, the article, at least the one I read, didn't really give any specific examples, but the verbiage that they said was that there was no question that they were doing this. They were using the word Godzilla when promoting the movie. I don't know if that means in actual marketing.
Well, they haven't even made the movie yet, right? I mean, they haven't even started. They're just, like Justin said, trying to get the money.
Right, but in an email that Voltage, the people who are making Colossal, sent out to potential investors, they say right in it that this film, Colossal, is about Tokyo being under attack by Godzilla and a giant robot.
Okay, that's
and then they go on to use his Godzilla silhouette on their images and packaging.
That's
is that
pretty
like
on
in
the
press release or
yeah.
In the, wow,
that's on the nose right there.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to argue with that. So.
All right. Well, then I don't know why we brought it up. All right.
By the way, Colossal, did they just like go to a thesaurus and try to find a word that was similar to Godzilla?
Yeah. What means big? what can we go with? Can anybody think of anything better? I got nothing. Hell, Pacific Rim was the most creative title they could have come up with. And it's stolen. For our listeners that were not happy about the Mindy Project cancellation, Tammy. It's already been saved by Hulu, so good for you. I'm not a fan of that show, but I'm glad that you get your show back. I'm really happy because we've all been there. We've all been there. One of our favorite shows get canceled. We're like, don't go away. So if you were a fan, it's still going to be around. Also, several listeners, including John Jones and, oh boy, Andrew, please don't hate me. Jeeva Nayagam? I hope that's
close. Too bad. Hey,
this time. You get a pass.
I hope it was right. Let me know. They asked us to discuss Person of Interest. Now, I don't know if any of us actually watched the show, but what happened was it's a CBS series that had been 22 episodes every season, and it got renewed for a fifth season, but they cut the season back to 13 episodes. They don't know if it's going to be a final season. They haven't really said, but it was cut way back. And I guess the question is, because fans are really upset about this, because there was apparently a six-year plan for the show, has some severe sci-fi elements. I don't really know them, but what do you think in terms of the idea of them cutting it back? I look at it as a viewer, I guess, if I was a fan of the show, that at least I get 13 more episodes to tell whatever story it is they have to tell.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of angles that you can come at this from. You could have got nothing, folks. So, like you said, 13 is better than nothing. But, you know, if you're a real ardent fan of the show, the idea of it only getting 13 episodes, well, that, you know, it sounds like the show is on the bubble and this is the potential last season it may get. Personally, I wish most network shows would cut back to 13 episodes. I think continuing this 22 to 24 episode long season for some of these shows, I'm really kind of getting tired of seeing them having to stretch stories really, really thin to make all those episodes. I think Hulu and Netflix and all of them have proven, at least to me, and, you know, the overseas TV shows have proven shorter seasons make for stronger storylines. I would like to see that copied over here, but I don't know.
Absolutely agree with that. I really think short, truncated seasons are a thing of the future. Like, take a show like Blacklist, hugely popular, and I'm a big fan of the show. But I guarantee you, there were like five or six episodes that always felt like, that felt like filler this past season. 24 always had several of those. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, the idea of a 22 episode season is kind of like the past, and we should get with the future.
Well, especially because there's so many more shows to see now. You can get easily distracted a lot more than you could. Back when there were only maybe a few shows here and there that you watch religiously, you know, that 22 episodes made more sense. There's so many more stories, and people are just going to want to grab onto something else. And if you leave them, if you get them bored even a little bit, they're going to jump ship. So the shorter ones just make sense.
Well, and with a 22 to 24 episode season, I mean, unless you're doing something wacky like 24 used to do, where every week there was some sort of betrayal or some sort of mole that was just found.
I sense sarcasm in your voice, and I don't like it.
Your radar
will backhand
just pinged,
you. Huh? I will backhand you like a 50-step wife. Don't do it.
But I mean, you can miss. You don't even have to DVR it. You can actually miss a couple of weeks and go, "Oh, okay, so they went from this point to that point. All right, okay. Well, not a big deal," and just pick up where you left off. But when you have, you know, Game of Thrones or Walking Dead, and you miss a couple episodes, that's a huge, you're missing a lot. So I agree with you guys. I really think, especially in this short attention span and world we live in, with so many different options out there nowadays, with hundreds of channels and internet, you kind of got to keep it shorter and just a denser product each week instead of a thinned out product for half a year.
So I think, I think that answers your questions. I feel for you because you're expecting 22, but as someone who's lost many a show, Firefly, right? I just kind of want to have a funeral every week. And
they took the sky from me.
They still take it. You know, that 13 episodes, I don't know what the plan was for your show, and I can't speak to it. I've heard great things about that show, just haven't had the time to watch it.
Watched the first couple of seasons, and I just kind of fell away from it. It's just kind of what I do with some of these network shows, you know, kind of watch it for a while, and it just kind of becomes procedural, and you kind of know what to expect from, you know, from the beginning of each episode, and give me something a little bit more compelling.
Yeah, Brian needs zombies or bloody weddings to keep invested. That's really insane. And speaking of CBS, David Letterman, by the time you listen to this, he's officially retired. He's been doing this, 30 years? He's been a talk show host for 30 years. I think some people love him. Some people hate him. I don't know where everybody stands in terms of their appreciation or disapproval of him, whatever. But I do want to ask, you know, what do you guys think about somebody who has kind of been a landmark in that field retiring? It's kind of like when Johnny Carson retired. It's just for the later generation.
I'm indifferent about David Letterman. I never watched him religiously. Even when I was a kid and I'd stay up and watch, Leno, or I can't remember when Conan started, but Letterman was always the one I flipped over to when the others were on a commercial. I feel like that was the one that my parents, you know, watched after Johnny Carson retired. That was, mm-hmm. And so I got some mad respect for him. He did some really funny stuff. There was a bit he used to do where he'd go to the drive-thru at like a Burger King or something and wear a headset. I always thought that was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. But I respect the guy, but I don't watch it now anyway. So it's not affecting me at all. I still like Fallon a lot. So, but again, I think it's Fallon's a generational great. Thing.
What are you guys, Justin, Brian?
I've never been a big fan. I mean, it's not like I dislike him. I've just, as far as that format goes of that evening celebrity talk show, I've never really watched it. I don't care for it. I didn't watch it with Carson. The amount of it that I watch now is usually just something off of YouTube when someone links to it. Mm-hmm. But I think that David Letterman leaving kind of signals the ending of the old guard of late night. Mm-hmm. And I really look forward to seeing what Colbert does in his spot.
I would agree with that. I'm not a big fan of his either. But I respect the guy and what he's done, and 30 years is a long time. Scott, to answer your question, I think Letterman took over, or Conan took over when Letterman went to CBS, if I remember right.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay. Oh, Brian, did you took a breath.
Oh. Really, just kind of echoing. I mean, I've never been the biggest fan of his also, but he is one of those guys that I do, I guess I will watch it, or at least record it and then watch it later. Just out of, it's almost like out of a respect type of thing, just because he is the last one of the, like you said, the old guard, where, you know, the Carsons and the Lenos and him. So it is kind of a, just as more of a, I don't know, memoriam or whatever, you know, it mm-hmm. is, I've liked him, but I've never watched him religiously. So just one of those things, if I was up late enough and bored, then I would turn it on, but you know, just one of them things. It is one of those, I guess, memorable things that I think we'll talk about at some point down the road. Like, hey, do you remember when Carson retired? Do you remember, you know, what mm-hmm. about, you know, Letterman? So.
Well, Brian, to end your thought, why don't you tell people where they can find trailers when we talk about them, which we aren't talking about this week.
Yeah. You know, when we do talk about them, you can find them on our website. It's thehollywoodoutsider.com. If there's anything you want to reach out to us about, you can do it on Twitter at @H_outsider. You can go on to facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Join the group, join the page. Lots of fun interacting stuff going on there. And of course, you can always, if you have a lot to say, then you can email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Justin, what movies are coming up this Memorial Day weekend and the weekend after?
All right. Well, Memorial Day weekend, we have two movies. The weekend after, another two movies. First up, Tomorrowland. Bound by a shared destiny, a teen bursting with scientific curiosity and a former boy genius inventor embark on a mission to unearth the secrets of a place somewhere in time and space that exists in their collective memory. Now, this one is written by Damon Lindelof and Brad Bird, directed by Brad Bird, and, of course, stars George Clooney, Britt Robinson, and Hugh Laurie. Scotty, this you know, this it's a movie that looks like it's aimed at the young at heart, and you got the youngest heart of us all. So tell us, what do you think of this?
I like that you said young at heart and not just the younger audience, because I think that's really key in this. I think this isn't just like a kid's movie by any means. This looks like it's anyone with a vivid imagination it's really geared towards. I really want to check it out just out of curiosity more than anything. I've kind of tried to avoid trailers as much as I can, although it's getting difficult with as many movies that I've seen lately in the theater. They throw everything at you, especially being summer. George Clooney, I love everything, almost everything that he does. I'm definitely going to check it out, but I'm more curious than expecting it to be mind-blowing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, what about you?
It's Brad Bird, and it's George Clooney, and it looks interesting, unique, creative, original, whimsical. I'm all on board. This is my go-to movie for Memorial Day weekend. Oops, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm equally excited and a little bit cautious about it. Why there's cautious? Just I've seen more, I guess, more than I want to see about it, and I just don't know if having that expanded knowledge about what might be coming up will help or hurt it. So I just want to I'm keeping my hopes up and my fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. I'm just a little nervous. So, but I'm excited about it. This looks, it's got Clooney. I mean, really.
Exactly.
Everything else.
It's got Clooney.
It's just got, they should just put that as the title. Clooney Land. I don't know.
Clooney Land. All right.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one too. You know, Brad Bird is a quality writer and director in my book, and Clooney, Britt Robertson looks like she's doing a really good job. Is that young person who's starry-eyed, and then George Clooney's the older guy who's a bit more cynical. I think that's a good pairing. It's a story that I haven't seen yet. It's not a sequel to something. It's not a remake of something. It's its own unique thing, and I'm really looking forward to getting to experience something like that, because it seems like we're getting a lot of sequels and remakes.
Speaking of...
Poltergeist, a family whose suburban home is haunted by evil forces must come together to rescue their youngest daughter after the apparitions take her captive. This one's directed by Gil Keenan, and it stars Sam Rockwell, Rosemary DeWitt, and Kennedy Clements. Hmm. Aaron, you are our resident horror aficionado. Is this remake something that you're interested in? Do you think it's going to do justice to the original, or could it potentially be even better?
Is there a midget lady in it?
Then I don't think so.
Then no. Nope. No interest. I will still see it because it's a horror movie. I like the original. But it honestly, it's one of those movies I don't think needed to be remade. And I still remember the first one fairly fondly. So I'm just not excited about it. I'm hoping it does something different and has some originality and becomes its own thing. Makes its own mark, so to speak. But if it doesn't do that, then I don't know. I'm just not excited about it because there's no midget. This house is clear. You know, I need that. And Carol Ann, I need that.
Carol Ann.
There's a couple things I need, and I don't see them so far. Jared whatever. Harris plays the midget ladies reinvented or whatever in the remake. If he walks around on his knees and has like a really high pitched voice, I could probably
make
you.
With some shoes like off the end of his knees.
Exactly. Dorf plays golf. Dorf kills ghosts.
That's fantastic. I would watch that in a heartbeat. Twice.
One of our listeners posted that video today. I think it was it Michael Bonovich posted that video about the sins of the original Poltergeist movie?
Yeah.
That made me want to go back and watch the original more than I wanted to see this one, which is weird because I've been kind of high on the movie, but
it's like a video that tells all the things wrong with the original,
which is really funny, by the way. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend looking up that video, but watching the clips of that movie holds up pretty well. I mean,
yeah,
some of the CG, some of the animation looks a little dated, but it still looks pretty scary. I'd probably be squirming in my seat. I want to kind of go watch that one again.
Like that red jelly stuff still scares me, whatever it is.
What about the clown?
Ectoplasm.
Yeah, the ectoplasm. They just used it for Ghostbusters a couple years later.
Yep.
Is it weird that the fact that it uses static on a screen is something that kind of, I wouldn't say bothers me, but it's like, I can't remember the last time I saw static on my TV.
There is no static on the TV anymore.
There isn't
anymore.
Any.
No.
So where is this bitch getting her static?
No, he's there. Super
and of course, TV. By bitch, I meant the little girl. Yes, everybody, hate me.
I'll tell you what. I have static on my TV.
You're in the woods.
Of course. Well, no, listen. It's
you don't
no,
even
it's
have
a TV.
It's a black and white TV.
Shut up.
All right. Tell us about your rabbit ears.
Your TV. Every TV has got different inputs, right? You've got one that's set for your TV, for cable, for games, whatever. You've got different inputs. Every TV has got a quote unquote TV setting that's designed to accept your signal directly into a TV thing, and that is where your static is.
Yep.
So that they're is like where your static.
So they don't have cable. They're a low income family. That's what we're going with.
But the option is there if you are that person.
Okay.
All right. Well, at least you got a point there,
Justin. I think we're just too well off.
I think we're too rich.
We're so used to the default setting and those sources that Brian's talking about that if it hits static, it goes to like a blue screen or a black screen before it does anything else.
What's up, Max Headroom?
You did some Max Headroom shit right there, dude.
Did I?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
It's like somebody was mixing you.
Welcome
it's
to the
so
Cafe
cool
80s.
That I might actually leave it in, even though it's horrible.
It's the ghosts.
They're on to me.
Oh, that was perfect. I think that's what it is. You should get out. Remember that Eddie Murphy joke?
Too bad we got to go, baby.
TV's got a girl. Oh well. I changed the channel. Bitch didn't come out. I left. So funny.
All right. Well, coming up the week after that, San Andreas. In the aftermath of a massive earthquake in California, a rescue chopper pilot makes a dangerous journey across the state in order to rescue his estranged daughter. Directed by Brad Peyton, this one stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Carla Gugino, and Alexandra Daddario. Oh, she is so lovely.
That is like an eye candy parade, that cast.
Brian, are you ready to shake and bake with San Andreas?
Wow.
Hails to the yeah. I'm so ready for this movie. I love a good disaster movie. And especially in an area that I'm familiar with, I've lived in the San Francisco area. And so when you see that shot, usually towards the end of the trailer with the tsunami coming in and you see the water just rushing out past the Golden Gate Bridge and you see those boats that are trying to get out past the wave. And I've even paused it on that scene and you see the little, just the details involved in that scene is fantastic. So as somebody who is a very shallow person, you know, as far as movies goes, I love a good disaster movie. And if a disaster movie is done right, you get a lot of this stuff, and that makes me happy. So then you got The Rock and the very
the ladies,
beautiful Carla Gugino and Alexandra Daddario and. Woo. So, yeah.
Would you guys be excited about her if you hadn't seen her in True Detective?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Not as excited.
Yeah.
Maybe not as, but I would still be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, woohoo, man, that girl is cute in the Percy Jackson movies. And then I found out she's actually like 27, 28 years old. I'm like, all right,
I don't feel so guilty anymore.
That's right.
That is way legal.
That's right.
I was the same way when I saw Scott Pilgrim and Knives Chow. I was drooling over her the whole movie, and I checked her age as soon as I left the theater. I'm like, how old is she again? Oh, yeah.
She was like 18 in a month.
But she was legal. That's all that mattered.
That's a crucial month.
That would hold up in a court of law.
I think it would.
Scott, the rest of you, are you excited for this?
Oh, I absolutely. I'm with Brian. I'm a sucker for disaster movies, and I'm just praying that this movie isn't just the stuff that they're showing in the trailer. I hope there's a lot more bombastic action and stuff blowing up and cities falling apart. And
what more do you want? I mean, like, the whole freaking planet was falling apart, and The Rock was just trying to save everybody, punching the earthquake, whatever he was doing. What more do you want?
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, we talked about trailer fatigue a couple weeks ago, and I hope I haven't seen it all. I hope that I'm going to be wowed, because one of the things that I hate going into the theater and being like, "Yep, here's that scene that I was expecting." I want to be shocked by some of those scenes. So I hope there's at least something that's going to blow me away in the theater.
Okay,
Brian, are you with me that this is one that's begging to be seen in like IMAX?
Yeah, absolutely. With the, you know, you've got the skyscrapers that are crumbling and falling, and panes of glass dropping, and people hopefully falling out of it. Mm-hmm. Big boulders falling and watching the ground, you know, do the kickworm across the screen. Absolutely.
This would be one of those good for those 4K movies, or not 4K. What do they call 4D?
No, it's
where
4K.
They blow the wind at you and everything.
Oh, four dimensional. Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I want, is a theater dropping, you know, pieces of
concrete on your head.
Of tile over on my head as I'm watching this. That's, that's a little too real for me.
A real earthquake happens and you don't know. He's like, man, yeah. The effects on this thing are really great.
What are we watching? Bachelor Party?
Oh, that would be so good. Bring in the doggy.
That old 3D movie.
I'll go see it because it's The Rock and it's Carla Gugino and the other girl who I don't care what her name is, but I just don't. I don't like disaster movies, so I'm not high on it. But I do want to see The Rock kicks your earthquake's ass or whatever they call it.
I think it looks pretty exciting, so I'll definitely be checking it out. And yeah, the theater experience has to be the best way to see it. All right, last up, Aloha. Mm-hmm. This is written and directed by Cameron Crowe, a filmmaker I used to adore. A celebrated military contractor returns to the site of his greatest career triumphs and reconnects with a long-ago love while unexpectedly falling for the hard-charging Air Force watchdog assigned to him. Now, this one stars Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, Rachel McAdams, and Bill Murray. Aaron... Mm-hmm. You know, Cameron Crowe is one of those guys that has made just some of the most seminal movies of our time, yet I feel like we have just been getting diminishing returns over his last several films. Are you excited for this?
I agree with you about diminishing returns. I think this looks like Top Gun meets Jerry Maguire, and I am all over it because I just love it. I love the trailer had me sold. The first time I saw it, I'm like, this looks sweet. It looks funny. It's got Bradley Cooper. He doesn't let me down very often. I can't even think of a time recently. He's let me Hangover 3. Never mind. Got it. But that wasn't his fault. And you've got Rachel McAdams, who I love, and I wish she would make a big comeback because she should be a much bigger star than she is. And, you know, I'm not as big on Emma. Make sure I get this right. Emma Stone. I called her Emma Watson once before. Emma Stone. She's good. I don't love her. But I think it feels like Cameron Crowe maybe getting a little bit of his old vibe back. So I am excited. I'm really pumped for this.
Well, I think you know where Brian and I stand on this one.
Well, please explain. No?
Well, we talked about it in our upcoming summer podcast that we did. This movie just the trailer bores me every time I see it. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't have a whole lot of desire to see it.
Love, hater.
Brian, do you hate love?
Trick question.
Yeah, pretty much.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
So,
I just, you know, he for me, Almost Famous is the last of his good films. Now, documentary wise, he did Pearl Jam's 20, loved that one to pieces. But Elizabeth Town was terrible. I didn't like We Bought a Zoo. And frankly, this Aloha just looks like a total snooze fest. I want to be wrong because Cameron Crowe, I mean, motherfucker brought us Almost Famous and Jerry Maguire and Singles and Say Anything. I mean, these are amazing films. And I hate to see him dropping off like this. And you know, I could be, you know, one of the few that feels like he is dropping off, but no, this Aloha just does not give me any confidence that he's on the track, you know, an upward trajectory again.
I think he's like M. Night Shyamalan. I mean, he's kind of put himself in that box. It's his own fault. So I get why people don't trust him right now, but it's Bradley Cooper, man. He can make almost make every bad script work, except The Hangover 3.
I don't buy, one of my problems is I don't buy Emma Stone as an Air Force officer, I don't know. I just don't buy her as military. I don't.
I get that.
And that just, if without that, I feel like I have nothing to really grab onto other than Bradley Cooper. And while he is hunky, I don't know if that's enough.
I just want volleyball on a Hawaiian beach somewhere. It's very important to me. Don't ask why.
Do they need to be oiled up and
Kenny Loggins in the background?
Kenny Loggins in the background?
Yes. Sold.
All right, guys. Well, of these four films, yes, they do come out on two different weekends, but we're going to lump them together. Tomorrowland, ooh, Poltergeist, San Andreas, and Aloha. Which one of these four films are you most excited to see and to head out to a theater and check out? Aaron?
Tomorrowland.
Brian?
San Andreas.
Scotty?
Well, I wasn't anticipating best of all four, but I'm with Brian, San Andreas.
Yes. I got to go with Tomorrowland. As I want to see San Andreas, Tomorrowland looks to really tickle my sci-fi funny fancy. So that's where I'm putting my pick.
So well, basically, two against two, it's a tie. Therefore, we've got The Rock. We win.
Right. According to Aaron's new math.
That's right.
We're in the minority.
Exactly. Box office. Brian, who won the box office? There's a lot of money flying around.
There was a lot of money flying around, and I will give you one guess who crushed it, and that was Pitch Perfect. So I'll just go ahead and answer it before you even get a chance. Yeah,
thanks for that, Brian.
I didn't get my guess.
So,
well, yeah. He gave a pretty big hint there.
Yeah, there was no editing there. That was just me just cutting everybody off.
The one time he doesn't pause. Fucking asshole.
I know. And it took a whole mountain's worth of mental concentration to not do that. So just so you know, I'm putting forth an effort. Anyway, Pitch Perfect did crush it this weekend with a $69 million.
Wow. That's more than the first one made in total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. And we will be discussing that a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. The desert car chase action flick Mad Max Fury Road had a decent yet underwhelming $45 million opening this weekend, while The Avengers Age of Ultron still holding strong with a $39 million weekend for a total of $372 million so far just after 3 weeks. That's like averaging $125 million a week.
Yeah, but it's still way behind the first Avengers. I mean, it's down a lot. But the first one was like $600 million. I don't think it's going to come close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So rounding out our top five for the weekend was Hot Pursuit, who colored about another $5 million to make a two-week total.
Wow.
I know.
He's laughing at his own fun.
I know. It's horrible.
It's funny, isn't it?
And I mean, but you know, hey, it's made up a whopping $23 million over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
While Furious
major hit.
Yeah, exactly. And Furious 7 is still in the top five with a $3.5 million pool for week number 7 on that. But
how was 1.489 billion dollars?
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And Vin Diesel has the biggest back end of anybody in that cast. He just bought an island. Just because. Probably bought Hawaii, actually. He's got
This makes Furious 7 the fourth highest worldwide grossing movie ever.
Whoever thought that could happen.
What's the next
place? That island he bought was Australia.
If just it saying. Can earn another $30 million, it will top Avengers, which was number 3.
That's so funny.
It won't top Titanic or Avatar, but it could top Marvel's Avengers.
Somewhere, a Universal exec is debating whether it's okay to be happy that Paul Walker died. I promise you.
That's
really true.
No,
how many hookers he should send to Vin Diesel's house?
Exactly.
Like, who can we get to die next year?
What's Ludacris doing on this weekend? Looks like he's going jet skiing. On a faulty jet ski.
Could be an accident.
Oh, man.
Oh.
It's wrong.
Too soon?
He's not dead yet. So no, I think it's okay.
Too early.
Too early. Right now we're complicit.
I just might have the inside scoop. I'm just saying.
What's this movie?
Each week we play ours or a listener suggests a clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. And next week we'll give you a proper whole shout out. Last week's Last week's answer was Brian's pick, The Losers. That was a really hard one. Those that got it correct, Rex Godwin, Amy Hutchinson, John Jones, and Andrew Javaniagam. I got it once. That's all I can do. I don't know what to tell you. But you got it right, man. You got it right, Andrew. This week, Rex Godwin actually asked us if we would play a clip. And so if you think you know what this clip is, this is Rex's pick, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Now, I want to say before I play the clip, there are several people, especially in this podcast, that are probably going to say, well, that's too easy. I think you guys are misreading how a lot of America's youth that listen to this show have never seen this movie. So if you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Here's your clip.
Hey, guys, you got to get back in there and finish the dance.
Hey, man, look at Marvin's hand. He can't play with his hand like that, and we can't play without him.
Yeah, well, look, Marvin, you got to play. See, that's where the kiss for the first time on the dance floor. And if there's no music, they can't dance. If they can't dance, they can't kiss. If they can't kiss, they can't fall in love, and I'm history.
Hey, man, the dance is over. Unless you know somebody else that can play the guitar.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know this, turn off your podcast player.
No, don't.
And just go.
Go. Once you hear just what the movie go. Is, then go watch it.
But that's download it. The episode first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you heard it, so you already
put
got
a nice review on iTunes, and then stop listening because you don't deserve to listen to this show.
He doesn't mean it, and everybody.
Oh, I mean it.
We don't mean it. The other three don't. So we're okay.
I think you're gonna have a long list of names to read.
We'll find out, man. I'll be curious how many people get it because I think we underestimate how many younger people have never seen that specific film.
Okay, listeners, if you don't normally write in with a correct guess, please do this week just to inundate Aaron's inbox with answers for this so we can see how many names get this movie this week.
Okay, we'll see. And I want to see how many wrong answers we get, too. All right, reviews. That's where we review any new releases. This week we've got two. Now, Scott and I did a very, probably a little long, reaction cast is what we called it. We're trademark. Dink. And where we talked about Mad Max Fury Road and our impressions and reactions after we saw it. But we did a quick review on that. But Justin and Brian also saw it. So they're going to talk about what they thought about the movie for anybody that hasn't listened. So here's their spoiler-free review. Whoever wants to lead it off. Go.
Well, first off, let me say that you guys did a fantastic job. It was a very engaging and entertaining little reaction cast, as we've so coined.
Thank you. Yeah. So. No, I like it. It's okay, Justin. He can keep kissing. I like it. God.
I don't think that was a kiss.
Oh.
Oh. Now some brown nosing.
Well, who wants to lead it off? What the movie is and what you guys thought real quick.
Kind of almost seemed like it was more about Furiosa, who was played by Charlize Theron. Really, she was, pardon the pun, but driving this movie really more than Mad Max was. She kind of goes rogue and kind of makes a run for this little fertile paradise that's rumored to be off to the east. And Mad Max really gets caught up kind of unintentionally during this little 2-hour run through the Australian desert. It's kind of, as far as the story goes, there really wasn't much one at all. But I mean, Justin, what'd you think about it?
I fucking loved this movie because, yeah, you're right. There's not a lot of story, but what that opens it up for is a lot of character and a lot of action. And I thought Charlize Theron's character of that Imperator Furiosa, I loved her. I mean, she was such a powerful presence on the screen. She was tough as nails, but there was a real heart to her character. I mean, the way she tended to, well, I don't want to spoil anything. She was a great character. I loved her on the screen. I thought she was a great, I wouldn't say a counter to Max because they, you know, they're not opposing each other, but she definitely brought a lot that, I don't think a lot of people normally think a female character would bring. I thought all in all, the action was top notch. there were some scenes that were just balls out crazy. My favorite element of the movie really kind of has to be that big war wagon with the drums and the guitarist. That was so, so fucking crazy.
It was awesome.
I got excited every time I saw that guy.
Yep.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was the middle of the night or the middle of the afternoon. That guy was just was shredding away on just some just rocking out.
And to give you guys perspective, what he's talking about, like most armies when they go to war, they have like a bugler or you know a horn blower,
some a couple of drums or something. Yeah,
this guy rocked out on a guitar.
But it was like stacked giant it's like concert speakers you would have at Wembley Stadium or something, and they were just stacked about 80 feet high, and he's just rocking out on a guitar
and all these drummers hanging off the back, pounding those drums. That it was a kind of film that you felt like the people who were involved had no fear. Mm-hmm. You know, they took every idea, the good, maybe the strange, threw it in there and fucking made it work. It's one of those rare movies that as soon as it was when it was finished, I wanted another one.
Yep.
I want to see another Mad Max because this was outstanding.
So what do you guys give it?
Well, let's see here. It didn't quite live up to my expectations. I will be honest about that. That being said, it was still, it's one of my most liked movies so far this year. I would definitely give it I'm gonna give it an 8.5. 8.5 out of 10.
I'm with Brian. If Max, the character, had been a bit more a part of the story early on, I would have enjoyed it a bit more. But, I mean, he does get in there quite a bit. But for me, it felt like it took a little too long for him to become an agent in this in this movie. But, yeah, I give it an 8.5 easy. It could have been a 9. And maybe on some future viewing when I'm kicking back, watching it at home with the volume turned all the way up and some substance running through my veins. It could be a 9 or 9.5. It was balls out fun.
I'll say this. I even purchased the soundtrack to this movie because I just loved
it. Oh, it's so good.
The angry drums and the doom, 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 you know.
Oh, God.
And it makes your drive to work in the morning fan-freaking-tastic. Because in my head, I'm just driving in this convoy of insane asylum escapees that are just driving these giant twin turbo V8 engines that are just roaring through a desert. And I'm just, you know.
And meanwhile, Holt was really good in it, too. Mm-hmm. I was surprised how much I liked him and his character.
Yeah, he was very good. I like that it's one of the only ideas of a nonstop chase movie I've seen actually come to fruition. It actually is a nonstop chase movie. I mean, the whole movie is a chase movie. That's all it is. That's it. And I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, because you could even kind of mention that almost jokingly a couple of weeks ago or, you know, or whenever it was, you know, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that. Almost like kind of jokingly about it being it's a 2-hour chase movie.
Yeah, I didn't think it actually would be.
Yeah. You didn't realize how spot on you were.
Yeah.
It was like a post-apocalyptic Cannonball Run on steroids.
That's a good
and a little heroin.
It needed a little more Dom DeLuise. It really did. That's really the only thing it was lacking. He'd make a great Mad Max, by the way.
Well, did you guys ever
figure out? He would have been the enemy guy.
He would.
Now, Scott and Aaron, I know you guys were a little confused on the chrome paint stuff. Did y'all ever get that sorted out?
No,
y'all still confused on?
I've been in the woods. I haven't gotten anything sorted out.
All right.
I just thought it was a drug.
No, it's just what it looks like. It's chrome spray paint, and they strive to be shiny in battle, which would get them to Valhalla, you know, and that's their goal is to, you know, be shiny in battle and that kind of stuff. So it was just basically to make them, you know, better in their glory, you know, field death. So. It wasn't a drug. It wasn't like an adrenaline thing that pumped him up. I mean, it was an inspirational thing, so to speak, but it wasn't like it was, you know, crank for Jason Statham. So,
because that first time he used it, it really looked like it gave him a bit of a boost.
Yeah.
You're saying it's all in his head?
Could have been pure adrenaline.
From what I understand, yeah. From what I
felt like it gave him a little boost, but
Whatever. But it didn't after that.
Yeah.
Huh?
We'll find out. We'll find out. Somebody will sort it out for us. Scott, Brian, Justin, you all saw Pitch Perfect 2. Scott, what was Pitch Perfect 2 about? You guys review. I didn't see it. I was man packing.
Didn't have time to go see a movie with a bunch of women because you were man packing?
I was sore. Yep.
Well, Pitch Perfect 2 does take place after the original movie, and the Barden Bellas have been in several competitions since the end of that movie, but because of an embarrassing mishap at a recent event where the world saw a bit more of Fat Amy than anyone wanted, the a cappella singing group has basically been banned from any future competitions. That is, unless they can win the world's a cappella competition, which apparently has never been won by an American group before, so... Along the way, there's some minor story beats that play out as an excuse to have more performances and slapstick gags, but overall, that's the basic part of the story. So, now, I know, Brian, you saw this as well, and I usually go to Justin for my musicals, but I know you're a huge Pitch Perfect fan, so I want to ask you, what did you think about the story in this one?
Well, it kind of felt like the same story as the last one. They just upped up. You know, they just kind of upped it up a little bit where it's more on a global scale than the collegiate level.
Right.
And it's kind of the, I guess, the theme throughout a number of different, I guess, probably, I hate to use the term issues, but little nitpicky things throughout the movie that I kind of had was that it just kind of felt like they were trying to use the same exact things, but just bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't quite feel bigger to me. For me personally, I think they tried too hard to copy a lot of the stuff the first one did. And some of the stuff for me just didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But that's my personal opinion.
Justin, what about you?
As much as I loved Mad Max, I was really disappointed in Pitch Perfect 2. I love the first film. I've seen it maybe close to a dozen times. I've listened to the soundtrack more often than is probably good for me. I love the songs, the characters, and the story from the first movie. But this one, there wasn't any song that really got my blood pumping. There weren't really any scenes other than one that I really enjoyed. And for the most part, I felt like if it wasn't for Fat Amy and some of the funny things she said and did, I don't know if I would have found this movie entertaining at all.
Wow.
I just did not like it.
I'm totally with you.
Oh, here's my thing is the a cappella didn't even almost seem like it was a cappella. It was almost more music video or concert. There was kind of seemed the actual a cappella where they're, you know, everybody on the stage is doing the music and everything. When the Germans are on there, it's almost like they've got background music and everything going on. It just kind of defeated the whole a cappella thing they had going.
What disappointed me in this movie is I think almost every joke in this felt super forced. Like they were trying way too hard to be funny. They were going a long way for a joke. I'd say maybe two out of three of the jokes that came fell flat for me.
Mm-hmm.
There still was some humor. There were a couple moments I laughed out loud, but the setups were just too convoluted to really hit their mark. And like Brian said, the main story seemed like a real stretch. Things just didn't make a whole lot of sense. I to its credit, if you go into the film just expecting very little with story, just so you can hear some cool music, you should be fine. I think the music is good. And actually, Brian, believe it or not, the stuff that even with the Germans is all a cappella, believe it or not. There's the German group had a ton more on that were singing at one time than most of the other groups we've seen. So they have a much more richer sound, but it is still all just voices.
And that is absolutely amazing because there are the background noises and stuff, not the direct singing and the little beatbox type stuff they've got going on, but the background music tones is fantastic because it sounds like synthesizers and drums and et cetera. And
yep, they've got a very electronic sound to it.
But they even make the point
Das Sound Machine.
Das Sound Machine.
Sound Machine.
So that, yeah, but you know, but they did make the, and they did make the point that, hey, you know, how are we going to compete with this? There's like, you know, 100 of these people out here. So mm-hmm. I guess that, you know, to your point, that does make sense. And that does, I guess, I don't know, that kind of gives it a little bit more, and I guess takes away from my point earlier then, but still, it's just, it still just seemed like music video than it did a cappella.
Right. It felt too big, if that even makes sense. At the collegiate level, it felt appropriate, and now you've got like almost what feels like a festival setting where people are going to watch a cappella groups in the outdoor Woodstock stadium esque thing. It's just a little off. So,
but even just some of the personal stories, like one of the girls, you know, she's been there for what was, I think they said 7 years. I mean, I know some career college students myself, but it's still just for the story. It was just really, come on. You couldn't do something else.
Right. You know what I did like was the, I cannot for the life of me remember his name, but he was the producer in the studio.
Oh, from Key and Peele?
Yeah,
he was great.
He's the guy that does the, Obama's, anger.
Yeah.
Anger interpreter.
Yeah. Something like that.
And translator.
Translator. Thank you. And he was great in this. He was a little over the top, especially when you first introduced to him, but he really almost brought a little bit of heart at the end. And I really appreciated that.
And I got to say, my favorite scene in the movie was David Cross's scene where the riff off, even though the first film's riff off was more fun. I felt like he as a character and the situation of that scene was really well done. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. But sadly, there just wasn't enough of that to go around the rest of the movie.
But see, that was part of my problem with it was that whole scene felt like it was forced in there.
Yeah, it felt like
that had nothing to do at all with the rest of the movie.
That was my thought too.
The only thing they did was they set up the original bit, the original music bit. But as far as the how do they go from here to this riff off location, just made no sense. It's like, why is this here? Why are all these people here? At some strange man's house.
Why are the Green Bay Packers here?
Oh, yeah. God, that was so fucking funny.
That was pretty funny. And by the way, they did sing that. That was Clay Matthews and all those guys singing.
That's their actual voices.
It is their actual voices. I looked it
Finally,
up.
Finally, one reason that I can kind of like the Packers.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, it'll disappear soon.
Let's wrap this up and go with our verdicts really quick. Brian, let's start with you.
Well, you ain't ready for this jelly. So I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Oh, wow. That's higher than I expected out of what you gave it.
It was entertaining and everything. And there it does have some rewatchability factor involved. So, I'm kind of rounding up a little bit. So yeah, 7 out of 10.
You know, I don't know if I'll ever want to watch this again. I certainly, there weren't any songs in it that make me want to pull up the soundtrack and listen to it. Certainly not like I did with the first film. 1 out of 10 bucks, I'm gonna be generous and give it a 6.
Mm. I kind of agree with Justin. I really agree a lot. Pitch Perfect 2 just kind of lacks the charm that the first film had in terms of storytelling. Where Pitch Perfect was the movie that made me tell people, you have to check this movie out, even if you don't like musicals. This one just makes me want to tell people to go watch the first one all over again.
Mm-hmm.
The humor was simply too forced, but the music does hold up pretty well. If $10 were the full price of admission, I'd give it $5.50.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You guys got me really excited to see that.
Hit some sour notes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh. So what's new on Blu-ray and Video On Demand, Scott?
Well, we've got quite a few because we got 2 weeks to cover since we're not going to be here next week. So the first three come from the week of May 19th, which first up we got American Sniper. Actually, as of this recording, these will be out. So mm-hmm. American Sniper, Navy SEAL sniper Chris Kyle's pinpoint accuracy saves countless lives on the battlefield and turns him into a legend. Back home to his wife and kids after 4 tours of duty, however, Chris finds that it is the war he can't leave behind.
It made a stupid amount of money.
It did. Aaron and Brian both reviewed this one on episode 173. They both gave it $8.50. Mm-hmm. So that's one that I need to check out for sure.
Because he shot people. And I like that.
I think it was a controversy more that got more people to see that than
Yeehaw. Yep.
Next up, Strange Magic. This is that George Lucas animated film about goblins, elves, fairies, and imps and their misadventures that were sparked by a battle over a powerful potion. Man, for George Lucas being behind that still sounds super boring to me. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, Hot Tub Time Machine 2. This is the sequel. When Lou finds himself in trouble, Nick and Jacob fire up the Hot Tub Time Machine in an attempt to get back to the past, but they inadvertently land in the future with Adam Jr. Now they have to alter the future in order to save the past, which is really the present. And none of us bothered to watch that one. So
I'm already asleep just hearing about it again. Yeah.
It's because John Cusack isn't in it. You have no interest.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, that and the
and
fact
the third
that,
one. Are they going to go back to the old west?
Did you see how much money it made? There ain't going to be a third one.
Back to the old west. Also, May 26th. Moving on to the following week, and we won't be here. The Loft. This is the one that Aaron checked out on episode 175. Gave it 6.
I liked it. It's surprisingly very effective. Yeah.
And this one is labeled as the movie not to go to your wife with. Am I understanding that?
Yes, yes.
5 married guys, including those played by Carl Urban, James Marsden, and Wentworth Miller, conspire to secretly share a penthouse loft in the city, a place where they can carry out hidden affairs and indulge in their deepest fantasies.
Oh, yeah.
But the fantasy becomes a nightmare when they discover the dead body of an unknown woman in the loft, and they realize one of the group must be involved.
Oh, no.
Lastly, as far as movies, we got Seventh Son. When Mother Malkin, the queen of evil witches, escapes the pit she was imprisoned in by professional monster hunter Spook decades ago and kills his apprentice, he recruits young Tom, the seventh son of the seventh son, to help him. This one stars Rooster Cogburn and Julianne Moore.
Can we just call him that now? Just Rooster Cogburn. He's not even Jeff Bridges anymore. Screw that.
Also, the final season of True Blood is now available on disc, but we haven't seen anything notable on video on demand, so stay tuned for that.
What, you can't give my review score for Seventh Son?
Yeah, he did review it.
I apologize. I looked it up. I did not see it on the website. What was your score?
Shit, I don't remember now. Probably a 5.
Was it that bad?
It was terrible.
I will not be checking that one out.
5 doesn't sound like it terrible. That's average.
For me, 5 sucks.
We got to go by the Justin scale.
That's right.
Sorry.
I hate to see a 1 from Justin. What's the lowest score you've ever given, Justin?
I think a
shit.
No, he gave The Devil Inside like nothing, I think.
I think I gave it like a 1 or a 0.5. Yeah. That fucking ending. Ugh.
All right, with that, we'll move on to our little bit more of a fun segment that we do each week. Those that have listened for a while remember things like recasting the classics and other games. This week, we're going back to Stump the Hoe, and it's Justin's turn. So, Justin, what do you got for us?
All right, well, with all this talk of Pitch Perfect and singing, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if we took a look at actresses that have won Grammys?
Mm.
So, of these 4 actresses, which one of them has not won a Grammy?
Okay.
A, Kate Winslet. B, Whoopi Goldberg. C, Tia Carrera. And D, Anne Hathaway. Scotty?
I'm going to go with... What was the third one? Or what was the first one again?
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet.
I'm going to go with Tia Carrera. C, Tia Carrera.
All right. Aaron?
Well, I don't think you'd have Tia Carrera on there for any reason other than she did win, because otherwise how the hell would you think of her? So I'll go
with... She's hot.
Yeah, but...
And she sings.
You're a fan of many hot chicks.
That's true.
I'll go with Kate Winslet because right. I think her voice would go down with the Titanic.
All right. And Brian.
I kind of have to agree with Aaron on the logic there. Although I know she did sing one of the songs from Wayne's World. I really doubt that it garnered Grammy status. But that being said, I'll go with Whoopi.
Wow. I fucked all of you up. Anne Hathaway.
Catwoman.
Kate Winslet won a Grammy in 2000 for Best Spoken Word Album.
Okay.
It counts. Whoopi Goldberg won a Grammy in 1985, Best Comedy Recording.
Sister Act.
Whoopi Goldberg, Original Broadway Show Recording. And Tia Carrera has won 2 Grammys.
Wow.
One in 2009 and one in 2011. all of them in the best Hawaiian music.
She's still been working like this whole time? I didn't know
that.
Does she Anne really play
Hathaway.
Bass?
Do what?
Does she really play bass?
I don't know, but I know she sings. Anne Hathaway, unfortunately, while the score or the soundtrack for Les Mis was nominated for a Grammy, it did not win one.
Wow, nice job.
You did stump me, because I really thought that she would have won since she did that stuff.
That's why I threw her in there.
All right.
Shut up.
Yay! I think that's the first time I've stumped all three of you.
Yeah, you winner. You big winner.
And I picked the most wrong answer, because she actually won two.
Yep.
All right, well, from the outside in topic, each week we talk about a topic that's on ours or a listener's minds. This week, because of Tomorrowland, revolves around a young girl who stumbles into this futuristic world, like Justin talked about earlier. So from Oz until now, we've always dreamed of living in that different world. I mean, for a lot of people, that's why they go to movies. Better people, better air, better room service, whatever the reason. People love this element of film and television. That's why we're discussing it this week. So to start the conversation going, we all like fantasy worlds for different reasons. So for you, what kind of world is it that leaves you wishing you could jump onto the screen and live your life there, Justin?
For me, it has to be a lot about wish fulfillment. There are lots of things that I wish that I could do, whether it's piloting starships, killing dragons, whatever. The fantasy world that I would want to live in has to allow me to fulfill one of those dreams that I had as a kid and sadly continue to have into adulthood. So if it's able to do that, then that's where I want to be.
Do you think a lot of this stuff stems from their own childhood or in terms of they have a poor childhood and they just want to be somewhere else? So you grow up wishing you were somewhere else and just whatever the world is clicks for you. Does that make sense?
With some people, probably, but for me, it's my life has been filled with sci-fi and fantasy since my earliest memories. So it's always been a part of me. But for some people, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's people out there whose lives are not what they wish they were, and these kinds of stories are the places they wish they could be instead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it necessarily only extends to people who had, you know, bad upbringings, you know, or a bad environment that they were brought up in. I think everybody, even if they live in, you know, they grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth, they dream about maybe being someplace else, and whether it's far in the future or far across the galaxy or universe or way back in time in a weird Conan type environment. You know, I think everybody just depends on the person, you know, their imagination, their, you know, what makes them tick. I don't think it's necessarily I grew up in a bad environment. My family sucks and they, you know, treat me bad. And I just want to be in Hobbit Town or something, you know, whatever.
See, for me, I kind of go a different direction or one of two different directions. One, I would want to live in a world that makes life as easy as possible. You know, where I don't have to work. I got something doing all the work for me, and I get to relax. To me, that's my fantasy. You guys can have your hobbits and your dragons and and all that kind of stuff. I just want to be able to just do whatever I want. Because or something. This might be along the same lines, but some kind of advanced technology. You know, we're pretty technologically advanced now, and I'm having a hard time even coming up with what the future might bring as far as technology, even like the next 5 or 10 years. But that sci-fi fantasy has always appealed to me as far as what kind of things can we do to even make our lives that much easier. So that's my kind of fantasy.
See, I like simplicity. I like worlds where there's less. I don't want to live in the Matrix. I'd rather live in something simpler. You know, I guess that's why like shows like Lost really speak to me, because I would love to live on a deserted island and just not have to have many of the worries that maybe food. I mean, I want food.
And smoke monsters.
And I don't want those because they seem.
Yeah, but you know, what you're going to do for the day. Hey, I've got to go out and I've got to find something to eat for later. Mm-hmm. So you go out, you kill something, you slice it up, you cook it, you eat it. You might have a little bit of leftover for the next day, But for the most part, you know, you've got to do the same thing over and over again.
Exactly.
I agree with you on that. Man, hey, boom, trim away all that fat of jobs and family responsibilities and all that stuff. And I've got to go out and either make a shelter, go get water, go find something to eat, maybe all three, whatever. But that's, you know,
on my own schedule.
That's the extent of your multitasking.
On my own schedule. So I can, it isn't, you know, most technologically and advanced fantasies, you know, the futuristic fantasies like Scott's talking about, that just feels like more work's going to be, I mean, I'm going to have to do more shit. I don't want to do more shit. I want to do less shit. I want to go somewhere in a world where there's less shit. You know, if I go to any of these fantasy worlds like Justin loves, like where hobbits are and Mordor and all that, I don't want to go there. That place is scary as shit. I don't want to go there. I want to go somewhere where they don't have, maybe not smoke monsters, just my own island. But I don't want to go to where, you know, there's evil entities trying to destroy the world. I don't want to go to a galaxy far, far away. I want a nice little island where I can...
So you just want to be in Castaway.
Exactly. I want more than a volleyball.
Oh,
what? You don't want...
No, that sounds miserable.
Well, that's because you wouldn't have your phone. And my God, you wouldn't be able to make it 5 minutes. You'd just lose your mind. You'd probably kill yourself. Honestly.
Like, as Game Boy runs out of batteries. No!
Exactly. He pulls out a Darth Vader. No!
The struggle is real.
When it comes to all the people like us that watch movies, that we love fantasy films and fantastical elements and these specific worlds that we just talked about, what do you think caused us to get to that point? You know, we've all got friends who don't have that. They don't care about any of that. So why did that work for us? Why did that happen to us, I guess?
Because they have no imagination.
Do you think that's the key?
Yeah, that sounds harsh, but I think there's definitely some truth behind that. I think that the people that dream up these things have a big imagination, and just because you don't have as vivid of imagination isn't necessarily a bad thing. We've all got our strengths and weaknesses, so I think lack of imagination is a big part of it.
That's an interesting way to look at it. So you think, and this is your obvious, just you spitballing, you guys spitballing. People that don't get invested in those fantastical worlds, they don't get swept up in the entertainment like we do, you know, they prefer sports or they prefer whatever it is they like, fishing or something. A lot of that is because they don't have the same creative enjoyment that we do.
I mean, it's a nice way of saying it.
I think that's part of it. I also think a lot of it is that for, you know, people like me, and it sounds like you guys too, we were kind of raised on this stuff. I know a lot of people who aren't raised on this, whose parents kind of look at fantasy and science fiction as though it's a children's thing. And so they don't, you know, have that as a part of their house and the way they raise their kids. And, you know, when I walk up to someone and I find out they've never seen Star Wars, or they, you know, they don't watch any of these shows or movies, I always have to ask them, you know, have you never watched these kinds of things? Has it never been a part of your life? And generally speaking, most of those people, yeah, it wasn't how they were raised. And so they continue their life on the way they were raised. And it was without these things. And I think that is part of what stunts their imagination. You know, I was a kid, 4.5 years old, saw Star Wars, and it blew my mind. The doors opened, and I have, you know, been interested in those kinds of worlds and creating my own ever since. But I think if you're not allowed as a child, when you're really at your most open-minded, creatively speaking, I think that does kind of stunt your creative development.
Okay. That's a good conversation. So what are some fantasy worlds that you never, ever want to be a part of, Brian?
Well, this may sound odd considering how big of a fan I am of the show, but
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, man.
Absolutely.
Westeros. I don't want any part at all in that place. I mean, if it's, you're screwed either way. If you're just a normal Joe, It sucks. You're living, living in filth. Exactly. There's, you know, they, the most popular town is Flea Bottom. I mean, good gracious. So, and if you're outside of that, you're at any kind of risk of just somebody just randomly coming through and raping and pillaging and stealing everything and killing you. And just, you're just out there feeding goats. Next thing you know, you got an arrow in your neck. So
and you got the hound just shoving a blade through your chest.
Oh,
so yeah. So, but the flip side of that coin is if you're in any sort of power position, you're an immediate, you're a 24/7 target to be killed. And who wants that?
This is a really awful place.
It is. This is a horrible place to live. I'm starting to feel sorry for everybody in this show now.
Yeah. Is there anybody happy in Westeros?
Everybody at the Iron Bank. That's it.
That's about it. Yeah. That's about it. Maybe Dorne, because everybody's getting laid down there. So
that's true. I'm just constantly doing it.
Yeah. I mean, they seem to kind of be the, for the most part, except for a few of them, they seem to be the happiest people around. But
because they live on their own personal island. That's why.
Yeah.
The best part about watching movies or TV shows set in these worlds is that I don't have to deal with any of that drama personally. You know, I get to watch it and view it and see everything unfold, but I don't want to live it at all.
Yeah, I don't want to go to work and walk through 6 inches of sticky mud on my way to go slop some cows or pigs or something.
Only to have a wildling sneak up behind you and cut you open from, you
cut
know,
me open. Yeah, while I'm getting water out of the well.
God
yeah.
forbid you find a special lady and you want to tie the knot. That always ends badly, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
She should just plan on a raping.
She should. Well, what about you, Justin? What worlds do you...
Oh, that's the same thing. I mean, the first thing I thought of with Game of Thrones, because your life is measured in minutes. You could be cut down at any moment. It is not a world that I want to live in. I love watching it, but those poor fuckers, they are constantly have to be on red alert. And yeah, that's just too stressful. My stomach couldn't take it.
What about you, Scott?
Well, I had Game of Thrones as well, but I know Justin loves it, but I wouldn't want to live in Lord of the Rings world either.
I wouldn't either, man. I'm with you.
If I could be a hobbit in my own little hole, then I would probably be okay.
Until they come over one day, knock, and they're like, hey, take this ring to that giant volcano. No, you can't use the birds.
That'd be too easy.
Pretty much any fantasy realm that has just lots of battles and everybody warring against each other, I just have no interest. I like watching it and seeing it happen. I don't like experiencing it myself.
What about Star Wars? I said that earlier, and I wouldn't want to live in that world because it seems like, well, basically, it seems like the current America. But would you guys want to live in that kind of, even though you get a lightsaber and shit, would you really want to live
in that? If I could be a Jedi, fuck yes.
Yeah, I mean, Justin's statement kind of takes me to my little question about this whole topic. Mm-hmm. What aspect are you guys looking at this from? Are you looking at this, oh, I love Star Wars, I'd love to be Boba Fett. All right, awesome. Yeah, I want to be in Star Wars. Or is it, hey, or is it just, I'm just a normal person living in this frame? Because that's the angle that I took.
That's how the topic is posed, yes. As you, what worlds do you want to or not want to live in? Like you, as you live in.
Right.
Doesn't mean you still got to be whatever your job is. You know, you don't have to teach Jedi.
Well, if it's
Jedi.
Just me, I'm fucked anywhere I go. I mean, because I'm lazy. I kind of like it here. At least I can go to a grocery store and buy food there. I don't have to grow it. Don't have to slaughter it. I don't have to make my own clothing. I don't have to dodge arrows or blaster fire. You know, compared to all that, my life ain't too bad. The whole purpose of wanting to go to one of these fantasy realms for me is to live out that fantasy. And being Joe Schmo on the, you know, checking my moisture evaporators, that ain't it. That ain't my fantasy.
All right. Well, what? Speaking of which world, film or television, either one, you can go to any medium, would you most like to leave your boring old regular life for and live the remainder of your days there? However you see it, it's your question. So however you see it, which one? Scott?
The very end of the movie, WALL-E. You got all these fat dudes sitting around on these chairs doing everything for them. I want that world.
Oh, that is life.
I want robots.
That's living.
I want the robots doing all the work for me. Me living a life of luxury. I am 100% sold on that.
Just but a like fat a, blob in a floating
just
chair.
A fat osteoporosis jelly donut skimming around a spaceship. No.
I got time to do whatever I want. I'm going to be getting on the treadmill a little bit more than those guys did.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you will, Captain Xbox. I'm sure you will.
What about you, Brian?
I've got to go with Harry Potter. And here's my thing: if I'm involved with Hogwarts in any capacity, I've got some sort of magic powers. And being the prankster that I am, and you know I am.
You are. He does it great.
I could have so much fun with that. And besides, you know, like I said, because if you're normal in a Marvel universe, you've got to be constantly afraid of falling buildings. Because, I mean, we've all seen, you know, Marvel or DC for that matter. I mean, you live in a major metropolitan area.
You are screwed.
You've got to be you could be at work, you know, coding a website or something, and all of a sudden your skyscraper that you're working in is going sideways, and that ain't cool. Yeah, so I mean, Star Wars again, you know, I mean, Justin kind of made the, you know, just whatever, you're checking evaporators and, you know, trying to fix busted up droids and stuff. I mean, who wants to do that? So you got all these, like I said, you got all these people flying around with superpowers and stuff. No, give me something like I say, Harry Potter. I'm there. I'm in the middle of it. I don't have to be a super wizard like Harry Potter. You know, I'm fine with being like a Neville or whoever else. Just somebody who's got a little mojo in their wand, so to speak.
Well, you could take that about 12 different ways.
Yes, you can.
Justin, what about you? I'm curious, Mr. Fantasy. Where'd you pick?
I'm going to avoid the easy one, and I'm going to go with Firefly.
Mm.
If I could be a former brown coat, got my own ship, making my own way across the verse, I think that'd be a pretty cool life. You know, get in the occasional entanglements with the Federal?
The Alliance?
Yeah, the Alliance. You know, maybe shoot up an occasional Reaver, deal with another person just like me trying to take my ill-gotten goods. I could do that. It seems like the kind of universe where you're free to choose your own destiny.
Mm.
And that's appealing.
Accidentally, you know, marry a smoking hot redhead?
Damn right. Me, my ship.
Is like not frowned upon?
You know, mm-hmm. The former Mrs. Reynolds beside me? Yeah. I think I could make a life out of that.
That's a good world. I picked Pirates of the Caribbean. If I could go and be, I would want to be on a pirate ship.
That's
honestly
not bad.
What a great life. You can do whatever you want. You can pillage. I wouldn't rape because it's wrong. But I would have my own island. I would have some cool duds. I might meet Jack Sparrow. I don't expect to be Jack Sparrow, but I would try to steal his boat. And I think it could be a great life that I probably would get killed very quickly in.
Get some rum. Mm, take to the high seas.
Delicious.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, all over that. That's where I want to die. So, guys, now we've already talked about what our picks were from Best Worlds. What did our listeners pick? And on Facebook, I should preface this. I always forget to do this. We put the topic up the Sunday night before the episode. So the Sunday before, there's usually a topic on our Facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider on our page. So you go there if you want to put your input in. Go.
Anna Marie Germa says the Harry Potter universe because Dumbledore and Snape and McGonagall, basically the best mentors ever.
Can't really debate that. Good choices.
Scott Calgaro says, I was one of those sad nerds that wanted Avatar's Pandora to be real. I would live that life in a heartbeat.
Which way? Like as the people or as those freaky creatures?
I'm pretty sure as a Na'vi.
That doesn't seem too fun.
Because humans sucked in that movie.
Yeah, they got to hook their tails to a flying thing and fly it. Seems pretty cool.
All right.
Who wants to stick their tail into a mechanical device?
Well, I don't have a tail, so.
No, you just stick the mechanical device in your tail, huh?
Oh, wow.
Oh, sometimes it's just too easy. Anyway, Robert John Davenport says, tough call, three-way tie, Star Wars, Marvel, and Harry Potter.
Way to commit.
Yeah, way to commit to a decision, which I ragged him about a week ago, by the way. So anyway, he says, though my luck, I'd be a janitor on the Death Star, a janitor in Helicarrier or the Squib Argus Filch.
You can't even pick where you want to be a janitor at? God damn, man.
Jonathan Spears says, I'm currently pretty obsessed with Carnival, so I'm tempted to say that, but I'll go with the happier choice, the Truman Show.
Hmm. Oh, that's a cool thought.
So that means you would want everything in your life to be manufactured and fake.
That's right. What Scott said earlier.
Mm. And filmed.
And filmed.
No, you never see anything. Just
oh, but you know they're watching.
The wind.
They're watching, Scott.
I'd be like, oh, you're watching? Well, then watch this.
Right in front of the camera.
That's right.
In the middle of the street.
Kate Eastham says, Star Wars, I like lasers.
It's a good point.
It's a good reason.
That's a good point.
Amy Hutchison says, I'm torn between Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. If I could live in the Shire and attend school at Hogwarts, that would be perfect.
Boy, you guys just can't commit, can you?
No.
We're going to combine worlds now.
Stephen White says, have to go with Lord of the Rings. Nah, sorry.
No?
That's too much battle.
Okay, if I could be a hobbit in the Shire, sure. Anywhere else, no.
Too it's not a happy life. Place. Even when you get like some distance, it seems like there's always a war brewing.
You know those houses in the Shire are way too big for my 6'2" ass to fit through.
Way too small. Oh, yeah,
there's no way your head would fit during those, even through those giant round doors.
Yeah.
Couldn't bend over and probably. Yeah.
Got a head like Sputnik.
It's like on a big toothpick.
Andrew Jeeves says, I'm torn between the worlds of the Dresden Files because Harry Dresden is the most badass magical detective I would love to have by my side. Star Trek, I love space travel and the Enterprise and its crew in TOS, the original series and the Next Generation. Star Wars, Jedi are badass. Harry Potter, Snape is my favorite character as he is extremely snarky. DC, I love Batman. And Marvel, Punisher, Spider-Man, and Blade are my favorite characters.
So he picked every world.
Every
he wants to live in every world. All righty.
Oh, wow. All right, Carlos Hernandez says, DC Universe. I would be in construction, I'd make millions, and there's always work. That's the best
really
logic
point.
I've heard all night.
It really is.
That's great. That's great.
Shane Hohen says, I would go to Millennium Falcon Driving School and cruise the universe of Wookiees, lightsabers, and space pirates in a galaxy far, far away.
Aww. Millennium Falcon Driving
School. He would cruise for Wookiees?
Well, he says of Wookiees, but maybe four Wookiees or with Wookiees. I don't know. Either way, he's got Wookiees and lightsabers and pirates.
I don't know. Sounds... we don't take. So
they don't take.
Well, remember, you can like us on Facebook. We do have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group as well for movie and TV fans, not just for fans of the show. It's for anybody who likes to talk about them. Feel free to hop on over there. Just go to Facebook and look for the Hollywood Outsider. The link is always in the show notes. Once again, please review us on iTunes. It really helps the show out. If you haven't done it already, it'll literally take you 1 minute tops. So just go there and do it. And we will read your review on the show if you do. We do have some emails. So Justin, you want to go first?
First one's from Andrew. He says, hi, Aaron, Brian, Justin, and Scott. A topic to talk about is procedurals versus serialized type shows. Also, the shows that started as a normal procedural and evolved to a serialized type of show. The positives and the negatives of each type and notable examples of each type. Wow. Mm. Hope to hear from you guys, Andrew. Apparently, this will be our topic next week.
2 weeks.
God, it seems like too much work.
I know. God.
God forbid we actually think and research and talk and all that stuff. No, that's a really good idea. I like that. So, boom. Brian.
All right. This is from AP Stevens. He says, just a little list of people. I would like to know if you think they are a better musician or a better actor. First, Jack Black. Justin, is he a better musician or actor?
Actor.
I say musician.
Actor.
Yeah.
I don't know. Him in that extreme parody video. He's pretty good singing that.
Mm-hmm. You know, he came to the public eye as a musician
I think he's a better, I think his creativity is better as a musician. I like him better as a musician. All right. Second, Scott Zoe Deschanel.
Actor.
Better actor or musician? Actor. Scott. Or I'm sorry, Aaron.
Actor.
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 Just like Spies Like Us. Actor. 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 Actor.
Actor. Actor. Actor.
Actor. All right. Aaron, Will Smith.
Oh, that one's hard. He's a great rapper, but I'm going to say actor. I think he's a great actor.
I say actor as well.
Justin.
I got to go with actor. I loved his stuff with DJ Jazzy Jeff, but I think his charisma works better as an actor.
Yeah, I would agree. When given the right material, he can be pretty make a powerful performance. Mm-hmm. Justin, how about Justin Timberlake? Musician or actor?
Singer, musician. I think he's funny as hell, but I think that his true talent lies in performing and singing.
Mm-hmm. Concur.
I agree as well. I'd say musical artist because I think his music talent is a combination of his singing and his dancing ability.
I actually agree with all your points with the addition that he has potential to be a fantastic actor with maybe just some more experience, material, that all that combination, which is just...
He could be a white Will Smith.
Mm.
Absolutely.
And I really would love to see the big screen adaptation of Dick in a Box. I'm just saying. Think about
the
it, Hollywood.
Screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's
3D. A big box. 3D. I want 3D too.
Oh, there's no other way to do it other than 3D.
There's not.
I 3D in just don't want. I just don't want that in 4D. I can't imagine what they would drip from the ceiling.
Wow.
Lastly, we got Jennifer Lopez. Scott, better actor or musician?
I don't like her in either of them, so I have to pick one.
Yep.
I'm just going to say actor just because I'm not a big fan of her music.
I will go with actor. I actually think she has talent. She just doesn't use it very often.
I got to go with singer. You know, I'm not a huge fan of her songs, but I think she's a great performer up on stage when she's singing. But acting-wise, there's only been one movie that she really impressed me in, and that was Out of Sight. Other than that, I really haven't seen much from her. But singing, yeah, she's a good singer.
I will tell you, to back up the singing that Justin's talking about, they just did a Selena reunion at the Latin Music Awards, where they recognized someone that passed, a tribute, basically. And she came out, which is the role that actually got her career going, was Selena, when she played her in the movie years ago, which is a great movie. I love that movie. And she sang many of her songs, and she was... so good. I wish she would do more stuff like that because it actually showed that she does have quite a bit of musical talent. I just think she gets stuck in the hip hop stuff.
Hmm.
Just a little fun fact.
So you wanted to do more movies about sinking Mexicans?
I would actually like a Selena trilogy if that can be done. I just think it'd be a very dark trilogy.
Not a lot of material to draw from.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to bring Harry Potter into that world too.
My two cents here. I got to agree with Justin. Better musician, better musical artist than actress. She's got, I guess, a deeper history with the music than good music and hits and videos and all that stuff and concert performances versus what she's done on the big screen. So kind of got to agree with Justin there. And AP says, keep up the great work, guys. So
that's a really great question, AP. Thanks for that. I like that.
That was really creative.
Scott. We also got one from Michael. I assume, is this Michael Bonovich?
Yeah.
I see.
No, it's Michael Lonergan.
Lonergan?
Lonergan.
He says, love the Instacast. Ooh, Instacast. What do we like better? Reaction Cast or Instacast?
I like Reaction Cast.
Reaction Cast?
We can trademark that one.
Had no interest in watching Mad Max, but that changed in your Hollywood Outsider coverage leading up to the release. After the Instacast, I have to find a way to go. As a married with child man, seeing non-Disney/Pixar films is a challenge, but there's not enough batshit crazy in my life. Keep up the great job, Michael.
See, this is why you don't have kids, Michael. I'm just telling you. That's why you don't have them.
Way to find a window for that one.
we got a tweet from DA. Is it DA?
Mm-hmm. It's from
DA. It says, saw Game of War in my previews during Mad Max, and I recalled what Scott said about Kate Upton on the episode and laughed a lot. Kate Upton, probably the reason you bought Game of War and never played it. Hashtag Max Fury, Mad Max Fury Road. I LOL'd at Aaron's, yeah, what the hell was that? Talking about swamp men, bird people. Hashtag funny.
I still want to know what the hell those guys were.
There was no reason for that.
Oh, that's, those were our old people. What the fuck happened to them? I don't know.
They looked like something out of like the Dark Crystal.
They did.
Yep.
Just like Mad Max driving by. Whoa, look at that. They're on sticks. All right, we'll just keep going.
Work for me.
Well, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Remember to stay through the credits for outtakes. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com or tweet us on @h_outsider. We're also available on facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider, like I said earlier. Email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher radio app. Also, TuneIn Radio, or through whatever RSS feed, through whatever podcast app you have. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. You can check back if we like Tomorrowland. I don't know. We might have something up, or Poltergeist. I don't know. So just keep an eye out. If it speaks to us, if it's really good or really bad, we might have something. Thanks to Justin, Brian, and Scott for being here.
You Thanks, are guys. Welcome, sir.
Glad to be here.
And Justin, you haven't plugged your books in a while. Do you want to explain that you are an author? Because you haven't done that in some time.
Sure. As Scotty vaguely alluded to earlier, I am an author as well as a podcaster. Currently have 4 novels available via Amazon.com. Science fiction, horror, and fantasy. I like to cover all the genres, at least the speculative fiction ones anyway.
And they can go to your website and buy those? Or
well, they can go to my website, though it's undergoing a redesign at the moment. But if you go to Amazon.com and just type in my name, you'll see all of my novels, as well as some short stories that I've written and put up there for just a 99-cent pittance.
Pittance.
Just a
smidge.
Dollar.
You, one of my students is reading Haywire next, by the
way. Oh.
Well, I hope they like it. It's how old are your students?
9, 10.
Yeah, it was written for kids a little older than that, but hopefully he'll enjoy it.
So, yeah, the only reason I recommend it to him, he's a little bit more advanced than the rest of the class. He's you guys would appreciate it. This kid knows more about 80s pop culture than I do. He's a kid that wants to be a writer for SNL.
Scott, that is a really big list of people. Yeah. Covers pretty much all ages, all races, all nationalities, all sexes. People that know more about 80s than you. Yeah. All right, guys. Remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn. Well, I guess you had a choice, but it's kind of...
Sorry, I thought I turned my shit off.
Who started porn music?
It's Black Magic Woman by Santana.
Which people definitely fuck to.
Probably, but it wasn't expressly made for porn. It's my mom's ringtone, so I don't normally think of that.
Wow. Oh, fine. Now we're all proper.
Like none of us here have fucked our moms. I mean, come on.
No, I mean, I think about your mom having sex all the time.
Right now, as a matter of fact. Hang on. There it is.
Butter.
Speaking of butter, we came back from backpacking, and Sean, our buddy Sean.
Wait a minute. I don't know if I would like where the story's going.
You went with a bunch of dudes, and you're like,
I went
speaking
with a bunch of
butter.
Dudes out in the woods, and we had a lot of butter.
He likes his popcorn damp.
Yeah, I get the impression that Justin does too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make 3 of us.
Yeah. There's something wrong with all of you.
Or there's something wrong with you.
No, if one person in the group, if it's 1-3, it's obviously that the majority are wrong.
Was what? That new math shit?
Yeah, exactly. He gained weight. He's been at the Dairy Queen. The ice cream will add up. Will add up.
Tell me about it.
That's right.
Shit don't come for free.
Uh-uh. It's so good, though.
So good.
Oh, especially with a little butter on top.
Oh, God.
When I was a kid, my stepdad used to take a cup of black coffee.
Oh, where's this going?
We took sugar in it. Mm-hmm. And he'd take a piece of buttered bread, fold it in half, and dip it in his coffee and eat it.
Oh, I know. Now I do that.
Do you really?
The first 1/3 of your story sounded like a Law & Order SVU episode. It's like my dad, he took black coffee and he took a half piece of buttered bread and then things went bad. Exactly. Brian, you were the one doing something. Are you ready?
My God. Do I have my camera on?
No. By the way, the kitchen release thing, I don't agree with that. That just looks mean in person. I'm not a fisherman, so I'm sure fish don't feel anything or whatever, but sticking a hook right through somebody's face and throwing it back in the water and saying, they're fine, just doesn't work for me. I mean, seriously, one of them had like a hole ripped off the side of his face. No, he's good. What?
Yeah, it's kind of like punching a six-year-old and going, yeah, he'll be fine once he stops crying.
You just put some Windex on it. It's fine.
Just walk it off.
Do I sound okay? Is my position satisfactory to you?
Yeah, as long as you talk directly into the microphone, you're all good. And if you mean on top, yes.
So you like being the bottom, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
That explains
I bet it does.
A lot.
It got weird.